It's always encouraging to see pews filled and churches well attended. I can't help but wonder, though, sometimes when I see that so many people there, I wonder how many are just making good on promises they made because someone won a World Series. You know, I'm just curious who's coming through on those. I'm even more curious about the people who are still making excuses like, well, I'll start next week. On the other hand, sometimes you just see churches fill up. I'm told they're always better attended in time of national crisis, so I don't know if that's motivation for anyone. I think it's fascinating. You know, as I watched a little extra TV this week, really I only saw two things on, reruns and politics, but in all of it, either way, I turned off the TV disappointed, but in all of it, I think it was important for us to remember that there's a lot to be said for both of those, because you get used to reruns, you see them, sometimes you get a little nervous, but you know how the story plays out. It's not so different for the politics. As I predicted to several of my friends, it played out exactly how I predicted, which is about half the people got mad and said it was all over for them, so it didn't really matter which side it went. I still remember 16 years ago, when the election results came in, and a number of people came to me and said, it was the end of the world, it's all over, the whole thing's just going to come apart, and it's just terrible, it's all over. And then I remember 8 years ago, when people came to me and said, it's all over, the whole thing's come apart, and it's just not working, and it's all over. And strangely enough, this week, someone told me, it's all over, it's all coming apart, it's just over. And I feel like I've heard this story before, like I'm stuck on a loop watching reruns again. I'm back watching the exact same thing over again. And I think it's so important for all of us to remember that whether the candidate you really wanted to win won this time or didn't, I think there's something very important for all of us to bear in mind, and that is God's still supposed to be in charge. God's still bigger than all of this. That it really is actually God at the head of this. And that one election cycle is actually not the end of the world. It's not a convenient coincidence that the readings are expressing exactly that, that we're experiencing the end of the world within our readings. Malachi telling us about how all the proud and evildoers will become stubble that is burned away. And Jesus has that really encouraging reading for us today, telling us about how it's all going to end. It's because we're coming to the end of our cycle. Coming to the end of the liturgical year. Next week will be Christ the King. That'll be the last Sunday in our year, and then we'll start with Advent and a new year and hope and all of those things that come along with it. I think it's so important for us as we come to the end of an election of a liturgical year to really reflect on that. To really reflect on the beauty and the incredible reality that God actually still has us all very firmly in hand. That God actually is looking over for each of us, watching out for us, and constantly inviting us to draw closer to Him. And that our convictions, our principles, our morals should be formed by a relationship that is ever-growing with the Heavenly Father who loves us so very much that He wanted to send us a Savior. And that should be our focus. St. Paul warns us against it. What does he say? He says, anyone who is unwilling to work shouldn't eat. I don't think he's attacking retired people here. I think he's trying to address very directly the fact that we should be involved in our own work first. That we should be very much engaged in the things that we are called to do as individuals loved and called by God. That it has to begin with our work. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't absolve us and say, well, I'm only supposed to be involved in my concerns and that's someone else's concern, so I don't need to be involved at all. No, I mean, we still need that presence of mind that says that we're still called to love our neighbor. Loving our neighbor means that we have to know our neighbor and be involved and care enough to know how our neighbor is doing. But it also is a strong reminder to us that we should never become so absorbed in someone else's affairs that we get to think that we know better for them. Just because we decide to become involved in their affairs. We should, first and foremost, be focused on the loving God who calls every one of us by name to live a life of holiness. And hopefully there are times in our life when we can be reminded of that. Hopefully there are times when we can ourselves go back to that invitation from God to live a life of love. I'll tell you, it always is a reminder for me when I think about some of the amazing things that have happened in my life. This past Tuesday, I know a lot of people were very active on Tuesday. I was very inactive on Tuesday. When I woke up, I couldn't breathe. It was dark. Not because there was a pillow in my head, because it was still dark outside. It was dark. And the very first thing that occurred to me was I didn't hear the alarm. And the second thing that occurred to me is I was awake because I wasn't breathing. Now, thanks to modern medicine, I started breathing. I mean, God bless good pharmaceuticals, but it is a powerful reminder of how precious life is. I tell you something even more incredible. I've had 3 homilies now this weekend. In each of the homilies, I have told a different, true, near-death experience in my life. I didn't even have to repeat one. Because I am constantly reminded, apparently I'm really thick skull, so I need a lot of reminders, but I'm constantly reminded of how precious life really is. And how very important it is that we should be focused on our relationship with God. We should be focused on how God calls each of us to holiness. There's 2 things I can promise you. And I really do promise you this, and I guarantee it. The first of which is nobody gets out of this alive. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat one way or another. And the second thing is that God is in charge. And He wants to have a relationship with you. And He wants to live in that life of love with you. Because if we have that relationship, if we have that ongoing growth, if we're constantly developing in that, a couple of things will happen to us. One, some people will not like us for having a relationship with God. Not because we have to be obnoxious about it or drag people crazy or beat them over the head, but because we have something precious and that always throws some people off. And it may lead to us giving a defense for why we have our faith. But if we have this relationship, if we continue to develop, if we're constantly striving to grow in virtue, to grow in holiness, to overcome vice, to resist evil, then when that moment comes and we have to give a defense, we don't have to worry a thing about what our words will be. Because the Holy Spirit will be so strong in our life that He will feed us every word we need, and we will know so beautifully why we live our faith. So I want to challenge you this week to bear in mind powerfully, to consider that no matter if it's been a good week or a bad week, we should first and foremost remember that God is calling us to love. That God is inviting us to an ever deeper relationship. And we can rejoice in all of those wonderful things. We can rejoice in the success of God's victory. And don't look so glum. The Cubs won. First time in 108 years. There's stuff to be excited about. Come on. I'm not even a Cubs fan, and I think people should be more excited than we are. I'm a Sox fan. We already won. We're good. Go ahead, groan on me. I don't feel bad. I know. It's been 11 years since they won a World Series. That's all right. I can remember 11 years back. It's not so bad. It's exciting. It's something to take victory in. It's something to have joy in. And that's what we should be striving for with every day of our life.